Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? It's about that time. Welcome to another edition of WKAR's Current Sports. It is Tuesday, June 4th, 2019, and thank you so much for allowing us to be a part of your weekday afternoon yet again. I am back in the saddle after a few days off. Took a few days to go out to NYC and, you know, just unwind a bit. Celebrated a birthday out there and, you know, just a great time. Had a great time out in NYC. New York City is one of my favorite cities in the entire world. I love the hustle and bustle. You know, all of the cultures. It's really the melting pot of America, isn't it? So I'm back in the saddle, much thanks to Jack Kerwin, Alec Rio, and Connor Mathis, all three holding down the fort on Thursday, Friday, and yesterday. And a lot has happened in the sporting world throughout those days that I missed, including, of course, Saturday and Sunday, the weekend. So a lot I want to get to. All right, a few things I want to get off my chest. I'm going to start today's show with discussing the Detroit Lions mini camp, I guess you can say. And the reason why I want to start the show with Detroit Lions mini camp is because two of the Lions' best defensive players have decided to skip this week's mandatory, it's not optional here, folks, mandatory mini camp, and it's causing quite the stir. Again, these are the two best players on the Lions defense deciding to not show up to mini camp because they want new contracts. All right, I'll give you the specifics of that story, and you'll get to, you know, hear my thoughts on whether or not I agree with this move from these two said players, all right? Also, later on this hour, I'm sure this was covered on yesterday's show, but I have thoughts on what is taking place in the NBA Finals right now. What a game, too, right? After Toronto brought it to the Warriors in Game 1, the Warriors responded in Game 2. Evening up the series. However, did you read the injury report that was released this morning? And I'm going to make a point as to why the Warriors, I believe, are in more trouble than many people would like to admit right now. Okay, despite getting a game to win, because many people said, yep, this is what the Warriors do. They get the game to win. Momentum has shifted back in favor of the Dubs. All is right in the basketball world. And we go back to being very boring and predictable in the NBA because the Warriors are probably going to win this thing, right? Well, let's take a pause because after reading that injury report from this morning, I got a few points I want to make on that as well. Also, in what might have been, and, you know, I tried to go back and look at a few upsets in the history of boxing. But, you know, I don't believe, other than probably the Buster Douglas and Mike Tyson stunner, I don't believe we have seen quite an upset like this in boxing history. You can make an argument that this was the biggest upset in the history of the sport. But I want to talk about Anthony Joshua losing because it was just so stunning. Shocked the world. It became the number one trending topic on Twitter in a matter of like 10 minutes Unreal stuff. I want to make a point when it comes to AJ losing and what it means for the future of that division and boxing period, because we all thought that Anthony Joshua was on a head-on collision course with facing either Tyson Fury or Deontay Wilder. And then that happens. A dude who does not look in shape at all somehow, some way, knocks down the giant. Pretty unreal stuff, all right? So we'll do all of that while inviting you all, beautiful people, to be a part of the hour. If you would like to be a part of the show, you know that number, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. When I come back, of course, technology does not want to cooperate, so our live stream should be up soon. I won't even give it a timestamp. I'll just say soon. At facebook.com/WKAR News. But even if it's not up, you can weigh in on our timeline there as well. You can also tweet us, tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. You know what's next. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, we'll start here tonight, folks, and rain, go away. Hopefully, it's just cloudy throughout the rest of the day. That's at least what it looks like according to my forecast, because tonight is the Diamond Classic Championship game. That's right, the Diamond Classic Final takes place tonight as Grand Ledge will take on Mason in the championship game at 7 p.m. at Michigan State Baseball's McLean Stadium. Now, the final was originally scheduled for yesterday, but had to be pushed back a day due to both Mason and Grand Ledge both having their district semifinals suspended on Saturday. All right, so again, with the Diamond Classic final being pushed, it has been pushed to tonight at 7 p.m. at Michigan State's McLean Stadium. Get out and support local high school sports. These are two teams that are always fun to watch, and it's always a sure bet, right? Pretty much you can book it. About 90% of the time, every single year, you can bet on Grand Ledge and Pat O'Keefe to be in the Diamond Classic Finals. Awesome stuff. All right. Speaking of the softball classic, Eaton Rapids got a 2-0 win over Fowlerville. The softball classic MVP was Grace Lato, shutting the door in the seventh for a 2-0 win in a one-hit shutout. So Eaton Rapids, again, another team that historically does just really, really well in the softball classic, getting the championship game this year. So awesome stuff. Congratulations to ER. All right. Michigan's Juwan Howard has hired. Say that 10 times fast. Michigan's Juwan Howard has hired former St. Joe's head coach Phil Martelli as an assistant coach. Now, Martelli announced the move via Twitter. Martelli was fired by St. Joseph's in March after 34 years with the Hawks, 24 as head coach, 10 as an assistant. During his time at the helm, St. Joe's went to the NCAA tournament 7 times and made 6 NIT appearances. So, again, I said that the key to success when it comes to Juwan Howard, if he's going to have any kind of success, especially this being his first head coaching job in the college ranks, it's all about who he surrounds himself with. What does that assistant coaching staff look like? So he has decided to go with Phil Martelli as one of his assistant coaches. Okay, Michigan, the Michigan baseball team, I should say, bounced back from a crushing loss to bury Creighton 17-6, your final last night, and win the NCAA baseball, our Corvallis Regional at Goss Stadium. Now, the Wolverines, who on Saturday night gave up 7 runs in the ninth to lose to Creighton 11-7 to force yesterday's game, poured it on during the middle innings to run away from the Blue Jays. Michigan scored 5 runs in the fourth, 4 runs in the fifth, and 6 runs in the seventh to break open a close game. So Michigan now has a chance to play in the College World Series, which is awesome stuff. Now, on the flip side of that, unfortunately, Central Michigan University, fresh off their first NCAA baseball tournament win since 1995, the Chips could not sustain their momentum in a second-round loss on Saturday to Mississippi State. CMU surrendered 4 runs in the first inning, leading to a 7-2 defeat on Saturday at Mississippi State's Duty Noble Field. Now, the loss snapped CMU's 19-game win streak and left the Chips with a 47-13 record. Quite the season for the Central Michigan University Chippewas baseball team. That's an awesome season despite the loss over the weekend. Congratulations to them. All right, the Detroit Tigers selected in day one of the MLB draft Riley Green, high school outfielder from Oviedo, Florida. And correct me if I'm wrong, we got Jack Kerwin behind the glass engineering this Tuesday edition of Current Sports. Correct me if I'm wrong, Jack, I believe MLB rounds 1 and 2 of the draft were last night out in New Jersey?
Correct. The okay. Tigers selected Riley Green in the first round, and then Quintana was the guy's name. He played baseball at Arizona. He was their second-round pick. I believe he's a third baseman.
Okay, he was a second-round pick, and I believe rounds 3 through, oh my goodness, I don't even know how many rounds they have, but rounds 3 through.
Over 50, because like Golden wow. Tate was taken in round 41, like when he was coming out of high school.
Wow, that's insane. So that's why they're doing it via conference call. So I read that this morning as well. So they'll do the rest of the rounds via conference call starting tonight.
Nick Quintana is the name of the Tigers' second-round pick, by the way. And, yeah, he's a third baseman.
Okay, Nick Quintana. Okay, nice. All right, and speaking of the Tigers will resume play tonight at Comerica Park as they will play host to the Tampa Bay Rays in what I believe is going to be a 3-game set for the Tigers. So, again, it's not been a great year for the Tigers so far. And this will be a 3-game set that will end actually on Thursday. Then on Friday, they begin a weekend 3-game series against the Minnesota Twins. That series will also be at Comerica Park. So, Detroit Tigers fans, if you want to go out and just support your local ball club, they will be at Comerica all week. And this is the story that will lead our discussion portion of Current Sports. The Detroit Lions will likely be without 2 of their best defenders for mandatory minicamp. Yep. Detroit Lions defensive back Darius Slay and defensive lineman Damon Snacks Harrison, best nickname in all of sports, have been absent from 1 day of minicamp already, and Slay doesn't sound like he has any intention of showing up at all. This is what Slay is quoted from the Detroit Free Press and saying when it comes to whether or not he will report for minicamp. This is actually what he said on Instagram Live when asked if he was in Detroit for minicamp. Quote, "I ain't going," end quote. "I ain't going." So Darius Slay and Damon Harrison, Snacks, both want to be paid. We'll dive into that conversation right now. What do you think about Darius Slay and Damon Harrison deciding to sit out until they get restructured contracts for more money? Do you like the move? Do you feel like they are within their rights to do so? Or do you think this is completely selfish and they should be at mandatory minicamp helping out the team right now? Call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That's the number to dial. You can also weigh in on Twitter. Tweet me directly at Al Martin. WKAR or tweet the show at WKAR News. Again, we're working on the live stream. I'll be sure to notify you all if and when we get it up. But until then, let's keep this train a-moving. Folks, I'm back. You know, this is the time of the year where I really take my days off. I really don't get a chance to do that during the fall and the winter, of course, because that's when sports are at its highest peak of relevance, right? You know, college football and the NFL and college basketball and so on and so forth. So, you know, when it comes, you know, June, July, August, you know, I get to take a breath here and there, and I certainly did that over the weekend. I was out in NYC, one of my favorite cities, and, you know, just relax, man, and you know, recharge the batteries a bit as my guys held it down. We got Jack Kerwin in today, as you heard him during our headliners. Connor Mathis and Alec Rio, they are out today, but Jack, I did get a chance to listen to the show when I was driving to the airport on, oh boy, that had to be Thursday.
That was Thursday, yeah.
Right on Thursday. And you guys sounded awesome. You know, it's amazing. One of my favorite parts of this job is working with our fantastic students here at Michigan State University. And there have been many interns that have come through current sports. And it's so amazing seeing the growth from our engineers, from our interns, from that first time they get on the air to where, you know, they have a bunch of shows under their belt, and then kind of, you know, you can kind of compare it, you know, from when they first got on the air to where they are now. And wow, you guys have really grown. It really hit me when I was driving, like, man, awesome job. Awesome job from what I heard. I'm sure Friday and Monday show went well as well. A lot of hockey talk. I know you guys dive into the NHL finals on Thursday. Also, my goodness, I didn't put that in the headliners. There was a game last night, right, Jack?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I called it yesterday on the show, so humble brag on that one. Yeah, The Blues are actually now 7-2 in the playoffs coming off of a loss, and their goalie has only given up more than 2 goals one time following a loss. That's Jordan Binnington. So I told people to look out for that, and they won 4-2 last night.
Wow, how about that? Now the series is all knotted up, I believe, right?
At two games apiece. Game 5 will be from Boston on Thursday night.
Thursday night, 8 p.m. puck drop. And I believe, I also heard this when I was driving from Detroit this morning, there was a player that took a puck in the face last night on the bench?
Yeah, Zdeno Chara, the captain of the Bruins. He's a 42-year-old big boy. He's about 6'9". Yeah, took a slap shot right off his face.
Oh, my.
Painted the ice red.
What? Oh, my goodness. I'm sure they had to. How does that work? So did he get knocked out cold, or is he okay?
No, he was okay.
Wow.
He probably returned to the game, to be honest with you.
Hockey players, man, some of the toughest dudes you'll ever meet in your life.
Yeah, I didn't get to watch the end of that game, or I didn't really get to watch any of it, to be honest with you. My goal was I'd get out of work early, so yeah, I'd be able to come home and watch it, but I didn't get off work soon enough. So I don't know if Chara returned to the game. I'll check up on that for you.
Yeah, and check on his condition, too. I mean, you take a slap shot to the face. Oh, my goodness.
He'll probably just be playing the next game with a full cage, so, like, you can't.
Right.
Like, he'll have a visor, but he'll play, I would imagine.
That's amazing, man. And in just a moment, you know, I bring up that because, you know, you compare that to what we see in other sports. First off, hockey players are just, they're a different breed. They're incredibly tough. And also, it's also a different game, too, when you try to compare hockey to basketball and injuries, right? I read the injury report that was released, I want to say about 4 hours ago, 3 or 4 hours ago, concerning the Golden State Warriors, and it does not look good, folks. Now, I'm going to put a few things in perspective when it comes to those injuries later on this hour, but I first want to start by opening up our phone lines, and I want to get your thoughts on this story because this is the hot-button story when it comes to Detroit sports today. And that is the fact that two of the biggest names on that Detroit Lions defense have decided to hold out and not show up to minicamp. I don't know if I can call it a holdout just yet. You know, I guess it's an official holdout if we don't see them, you know, at the start of the preseason, at least, you know. I don't know how long this is going to last, and I'm curious to see how the Lions handle this. But if you have not heard, if you missed the last part of our headliners, right now, Darius Slay, Detroit Lions defensive back, and Damon Snacks Harrison, defensive lineman for the Honolulu Blue, both have decided not to show up to mandatory minicamp because they want new deals, new contracts. So by skipping minicamp, both Slay and Harrison could end up being fined $88,650 by the Lions. Now, Matt Patricia did hold a press conference this morning, and I followed it a bit. That's probably not safe at all. I was driving while I was trying to follow it as well, but don't do that. Don't do that, folks. I'm working on not using my phone while driving. It's hard for me. But Matty Patty, he had his press conference this morning, and as I was following it, he, of course, was asked about Darius Slay and Damon Harrison not showing up. And Matt Patricia basically said, look, you know, he gave the, you know, the politically correct answer. You know, he handled it the way that you should handle a situation like this when faced with reporters and the news being relatively new and fresh. He said, look, man, you know, and again, I'm paraphrasing here. Look, you know, the guys who have shown up to minicamp, we just have to focus on those individuals. We have to focus on whoever shows up to minicamp, on those individuals getting better day by day, working on our team chemistry. I can't speak on Darius Slay and Damon Harrison right now, and he kind of left it at that. All right? But, you know, no doubt. I mean, if you look on ESPN right now, I mean, this is the fifth biggest headline on ESPN.com right now. And we all know how valuable Darius Slay and Damon Harrison are, right? You know, Slay has been the guy in the secondary for the Lions. He is a tough matchup on any given Sunday when it comes to any receiver coming his way. He's got a great instinct for just being around the football, and he's just an all-around great player. Great player. He's been a starter since 2014, which was his, second season in the league. He has made two Pro Bowls, first-team All-Pro in 2017, and with Glover Quinn being cut by Detroit, Slay is also one of the senior players in the secondary. He is certainly a you know, I would call him a leader. You know, I've heard players comment on Slay and his play and his presence in the locker room, and many people refer to him as a leader. He's very vocal. He's one of the guys for this team. Harrison was traded to the Lions from, of course, courtesy of the New York Giants last season. And when it comes to, and Snacks is a great player too. You know, I believe we were all in agreement here on Current Sports when they got Snacks that this was a good move for the Lions. This could beef up the Lions line, which they certainly needed. And Snacks is a special player. He's a special athlete. Now, you may be sitting here wondering, okay, Al, why in the world are they holding out here? Why are they not at minicamp? Why do they want restructured contracts? Why do they want more money? So let's dive into the numbers here. When it comes to Slay, he has 2 years left on the four-year extension that he signed in 2016. Now, he is scheduled to make $12.55 million in base salary this season and $10 million come next season. So, and this is also noted, and again, I'm reading this from Michael Rothstein of ESPN. By skipping offseason workouts, Slay has already forfeited much of the $250,000 bonus that was worked into his deal. So, and again, he took to social media. I guess he went, and I don't know if you've seen the Instagram Live, Jack. I haven't. Again, I'm just reading quotes from this Instagram Live. Again, that's how these athletes make official statements now, right? You go on social media, and, you know, it kind of reminds me of Antonio Brown, right? Remember that weird video of Antonio Brown? He was, like, working out on the, like, elliptical, and he's, like, sweating profusely, and he's staring into the camera, and he's just like, yeah, man, I'm, you know, I want a new deal. I want money, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, it was just so weird. But that's what, you know, these athletes do now. Social media allows these athletes to, you know, give to really let their voice shine and give things from their perspective, a firsthand perspective. You're not, you know, in a press conference. You go Instagram Live when you're, you know, at home somewhere. And it's just a different time that we're living in here in 2019. But anyway, that's where Slay made his angst known. No, he went on IG Live and said, look, man, you know, I want a new deal. And he retweeted messages that suggested he should be paid more and how contracts are handled. So, again, when it comes to Slay, I'm going to tackle him in just a moment. I'm just laying out the numbers right now. When it comes to Harrison, like Slay, he has 2 years left on his current contract as well. Now, he is scheduled to make $6.75 million in base salary this season, $9 million next season. And like Slay, Harrison has forfeited almost all of his $250,000 workout bonus by skipping the voluntary offseason workouts earlier this spring. So, the question that I'm posing out there is, do you agree with Slay and Harrison deciding to sit out of voluntary workouts that began this week for the team? Are you in favor of them getting paid more money, or do you believe this move is incredibly selfish? So, Jack, you know, I remember when we had the conversation about, you know, Le'Veon Bell and Le'Veon Bell holding out and not deciding to play all of last season because he believed that he was worth more money. He really wanted more guaranteed money. Set out all of last year. It looks like the brother kept himself in shape. Ends up going to the New York Jets. And, you know, his deal, for me, when looking at Le'Veon Bell's, you know, deal, and this is something that we chatted with Jarrett Bell of USA Today, MSU alum, on the show about, you know, when this broke. It wasn't a game-changing contract that Le'Veon got. You know, that for me, Jack, that was a contract that was like, okay, a good contract, but for all of the fuss and muss and all the press about Le'Veon Bell wanting to change the standard and so on and so forth, it wasn't a game-changing contract in that regard. And I have always said this, that I am always for the player because the NFL does not give a darn about these players at the end of the day, guaranteed money. And that's why, you know, Bleacher Report is reporting that, you know, oh my goodness, who was the president of the NFLPA? But he sent out an email basically saying that come next season, there may be an NFL lockout based on the contracts of what these.
I'm sure there will be.
And there should be. There's so. And I totally get it. And I was enlightened here on the show because Connor broke down. Look, okay. You look at all these players, right, getting paid these record deals, but those are the superstars. Those are the creme de la creme of the game getting paid these record contracts. I mean, you know, you bring up guys like Antonio Brown and a guy like Russell Wilson just became the highest paid, you know, quarterback in the league. And I can go on and on and on when it comes to the
to the elite of the elite talent in the International Football League. But when it comes to the average player in the league, guaranteed money is not guaranteed. Contracts are not ballooned. It's very top heavy. It's very, very top heavy. So for me, when looking at the structure of how the NFL is set up right now, I am always going to be for the player when it comes to the NFL because of guaranteed money not always being guaranteed. And the NFL saying that, okay, all right, once you sign on this dotted line, we expect you to honor the contract. But what if something happens? It's football. It's a physical sport. If you do get hurt, all of that money can go right out the window. I don't believe that is right. But I've always said this, Jack. You got to look at the market for your position. Look at the market for your age. And you have to take all that stuff into account and realistically look at your talent as well as a player and say to yourself, all right, when I weigh in all of those things, how much am I truly worth? And that's why when it came to Le'Veon Bell, him being, now I get it. He's a hybrid guy. You can use him as a receiver. He's not just a running back. At the end of the day, that's his position, though, running back. And at the end of the day, the market in the NFL for running backs, you're not going to usually get a huge, ridiculous contract, especially if you got a lot of miles and a lot of tread on those tires. Now, I say that to also relate this to Darius Slay, because Slay is an amazing player. Again, we're talking about two of the best players on that Detroit Lions defense. Darius Slay, Jack, is already getting paid as a top 10 corner in the league. I believe when I looked this morning, now again, you can correct me if I'm wrong. We have to double check this. I was driving, by the way, and that, again, please don't look at your phone and drive, folks. But he is the ninth highest paid corner in the National Football League. And I was looking at, I think it was what's that website? SpoTrack, I think it is. SpoTrack.
Yeah, SpotTrack.
SpotTrack. And they showed him as the number 9 highest paid corner in the National Football League. So I sit there and look at Slay's case and I say, what does he expect to get? And he's knocking on the door 30 right now, I believe, too, right?
He'll be 28.
He'll be 28.
So, I mean, a year ago, I would say Slay would have been worth more money than the ninth highest paid corner, because 1 year ago, Darius Slay was the second or third or even arguably first best corner in the entire NFL up there with A.J. Bouye. But coming off the year he had this past season, I don't see a big-time pay raise for Darius Slay making a lot of sense for the Lions, other than Bob Quinn could be backed into a little bit of a corner here, because let's be honest, Bob Quinn should be managing for his job this season, and so should Matt Patricia. Mm-hmm. And with that being said, for the reason you already laid out, Snacks Harrison and Darius Slay are still the two best players on the Lions defense. So I think this could shake out where Bob Quinn might have to play ball with Slay and Harrison a little bit, because if he looks down the road, I'm not sure there's a light at the end of the tunnel for Bob Quinn right now. But to your point, I'm not sure Darius Slay right now, coming off the season he just had, is worth more money than he's making.
What I'm saying, I mean, you're already a top 10 paid corner. So you look at that and you look at his age. I mean, he's still young. He's in his prime still.
He's got a few years left for sure.
And he's got, and this is the thing too, and I've been hearing this gripe made a lot from fans out there on social media. You know, the fact that both Snacks and Darius, they still have 2 years left on this contract. It's not like they're entering the final year of their contract here, and they're saying, okay, well, I need to get something done here. They still have, there's 2 years left here. Why pull the trigger now on this? And this honestly caught me by surprise, because I didn't know that Darius Slay or Snacks were unhappy with their contract. I haven't seen anything on social media about them making any ruckus about anything. This kind of came out of nowhere for me. So, but if you're already a top 10 paid corner, in case of Slay, you're already a top 10 paid corner, you got 2 years left on this contract, I'm puzzled as to why you make this move now. Now, and I do believe, I'm with you, Jack, I think that right now, the fact that, we're in mandatory minicamp right now for the team, Darius is such a dynamic player, such a big piece to that Detroit Lions defense. I can see the Lions kind of folding here and saying, okay, we'll give you $2 million extra this season.
I think they might have to.
Yeah, they may have to. I think you know, Bob Quinn may have to just sit down and say, all right, well, you backed us into a corner here. You're a really important piece. Which is very, very smart in favor of Slay and Snacks. So they're playing the game here, and I think eventually the Detroit Lions management and ownership is going to have to crack and say, all right, we'll give you $2 million here. We'll give you some wiggle room here, and it'll be a win eventually for Slay and Harrison. So now in the case of Snacks, I think the Snacks is underpaid.
Oh, absolutely.
Without a doubt.
Absolutely. I think he's a $7 million cap hit right now.
For sure. For sure, Jack. And that's the thing. You look at Snacks' contract, and I'm looking at the logistics of his contract again. If you did not hear, he's scheduled to make $6.75 million in base salary this season, $9 million come next season. That's underpaid for what Snacks gives you as a defensive, a dynamic defensive
Absolutely.
Player on that line. He needs to be paid more. So I get it from his standpoint. With Snacks, when it comes to Snacks, Jack, what do you think would be a fair contract for him?
Well, I guess I would have to kind of review the contracts of guys that are similar to him, just because,
right, when
it comes to Snacks Harrison, his age, his advanced age, because he's like 32 or 33 now,
right,
actually doesn't bother me a ton, because he has a very specific carved out role, you know, a first down guy, maybe a second down guy, but, you know, passing situation, Snacks isn't in the game. So he's on a pitch count every single week.
Right.
So that's really important to me. I guess I would need to look at, you know, some of the other premier defensive tackles who are strictly run stoppers, you know, the Linval Josephs of the world. I'd need to see what their contract is. And then, you know, contract negotiations are all based on comparables. So where those guys come in, I think Snacks would need to, he'd be the next guy signing. So for a little bit more than those guys. But term needs to be short because of his age.
Yeah, no, I agree, because he is up there. I mean, he's already in his 30s, as you noted. So, you know, and right now I'm looking here, he is the 15th highest paid defensive tackle in the NFL right now. Snacks Harrison is.
Well, do they have guys like Aaron Donald listed as defensive tackles?
They do.
All right, so that's not really fair.
And that's not exactly. That's a good point too. Yeah, Aaron Donald is number one at $22.5 million. You have Fletcher Cox at number two.
He's not a defensive tackle.
Yeah, they got him listed as a defensive tackle here. This is Spotrac.com. They have Fletcher Cox at number two at 17.1. Geno Atkins from the Bengals at 16.3. Kawan Short at 16.1. He's four.
Yeah, these guys are a lot more like Snacks than Aaron Donald and Fletcher Cox. Absolutely.
So, then you look at Aaron Donald's contract, too. I mean, 22.5, and, you know, yeah, I totally get what you're saying there. Grady Jarrett at 15.2.
Ooh, young guy. I like him a lot.
Yep, he's five. Jarrell Casey at 15.1. Marcel Darius at $14 million.
Marcel Darius is making twice what Snacks is making. That's
Isn't
a crime.
That Isn't that crazy, dude? Yeah, so you got Marcel. He comes at seven. Linval Joseph at 12.5 at eight. I'll just give you the top ten. At number nine, Sheldon Richardson at 12.3. And then at 10, Eddie Goldman at 10.5. And again, Snacks is number 15 on that list. And you have Brandon Williams, Malik Jackson,
Star Lotuile.
Linval
Joseph was the reference I just made as well, and he's 30 years old as well. So what did you say Linval was making?
12.5.
Okay, so 13.5 for Snacks on two-year deal.
9.2.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So I'd say a $4 million bump in his salary would
and
be about right.
I think the Lions should do that.
Yeah.
That shouldn't be a problem at all. So I get it from Snacks' from his perspective there, but again, I'm just a little bit puzzled when it comes to Darius, though. Great player. Darius is a great player, but I'm curious as to how much money, what kind of contract he wants.
I was actually wrong. I thought Snacks was 32 or 33. He's actually the same age as Linval Joseph, and he's a better player than Linval Joseph.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he needs to be making 13 or 13.5. I would say that's what he's worth in the marketplace.
Because
I mean, you look at a guy like Grady Jarrett, he's only been in the league for like 3 years now.
Right.
So, I mean, certainly he's got more value just because he's got more left in the tank.
He's younger.
Yeah, exactly. But for Snacks, no, I would say, I mean, I think he's a better player than Linval Joseph. Joseph. Linval Joseph's close, and he's another great run stuffer in the middle. But
yeah,
to me, Snacks Harrison is worth a lot more than he's making right now.
Definitely. Especially if him and Linval are the same age, and you know Linval comes at number 8 on this list. So your thoughts. Do you think – so now I'll ask this question before we hit this break, Jack. Is this selfish at all of the players? Because at the end of the day, I am, you know, 80 to 90% of the time, I am going to agree with the player if he wants to get paid more money, especially when it comes to how things are set up in the National Football League. I am always going to take that side of the player. But again, you got to put things in perspective. It's about the market. What's the market look for your age and position? And if the market is not going to pay you the amount of money that you want to get paid, then I'm sorry. That's the market. That's how I look at things from this perspective.
Well, so it's never selfish to judge the market and to play ball with your team and to see if you're worth a little bit more, just like it's not selfish for teams to cut players before their contracts end. It's a business, and it goes both ways.
Yeah.
So for me, I have no issue with Darius Slay testing the waters. We'll see what comes of it. And for the reasons I just laid out, I don't think he's really worth a big pay raise coming off a bad season. But no, I don't think it's selfish from the players. I'm an economics major, Al. It's a business, man.
That's true. You are an economics major, Jack. Thank you for pointing that out. But no, I'm totally with you on that. Okay, let's hit our first break. When we come back, I'm going to give you thoughts on the NBA Finals. And I'm going to, if you haven't heard, if you haven't read, I'm going to push along the news of the Golden State Warriors injury report heading into Game 3, which will take place on Wednesday night. All right? Not great news for Dub City. That and more, you are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. I tell you, I come back and technology just doesn't want to work. I know multiple people have been hitting me up throughout the hour saying, Al, what's up with the live stream? What's going on with Facebook? And I have no idea why we can't connect right now. I've been trying throughout the hour, but many of you who have hit me up have said, don't worry, Al, we got you on the radio. Okay, so glad you're listening to us here on this Tuesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Just finished up thoughts on Damon Snacks Harrison, lineman for the Detroit Lions, and defensive back Darius Slay, both deciding to skip this week's mandatory minicamp because they want new contracts. Both want to be paid more. And want to hear your thoughts now. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Pick up that phone. We'd love to hear from you. Or you can tweet us, tweet the show at WKAR News, or tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. I've got one tweet coming in that I'll get to later on because it doesn't center on the Detroit Lions. You know, at the beginning of the hour, I told you I do want to just kind of recap and give you my thoughts on what took place in the world of boxing over the weekend as Andy Ruiz Jr. had possibly the biggest, he pulled off possibly the biggest upset in boxing history. Again, the only other fight I can kind of equate it to is the Buster Douglas Mike Tyson upset. But other than that, nothing else comes to mind of this kind of magnitude. Because, and then you look at the body types of these two guys, too. I mean, Anthony Joshua, just absolutely chiseled. And then you look at Andy Ruiz, and it looks like this brother hasn't seen a treadmill in a long time. He's a big guy, though. He's a big guy. He's strong, but he's not cut up the way the way AJ is. And AJ has been dominating the sport for a long time now, and I don't know what happened. So I'll give you my final thoughts on that. I do have a tweet that I'll get to as well. Someone making a very good point that I don't want to, look over when discussing what happened over the weekend with Anthony Joshua. Okay. But until then, I just want to just talk about real briefly here. The Golden State Warriors injury report, because folks, it's not looking good. Now, at the end of the day, I'm sure many people out there listening are not going to cry a river for the Golden State Warriors injury woes, right? You know, it's like the Drake hoodie, right? Kawhi me a river. You're not going to cry about the Golden State Warriors because this team is just so deep, talent everywhere. You know, they got like 5 Hall of Famers on that roster right now. But, you know, you look at the injury report that was released via a press release. It revealed that an MRI, and when this press release was released to the public, we all thought this was going to be an update on Kevin Durant. You know, is Kevin Durant good to go now? Because watching him in that tunnel when the Warriors got that last win in game 2, he looked like he was moving around quite all right. But again, that's a strained calf, and that thing could go at any time. You know, you can walk on it, but how mobile is he on the basketball court? Those are 2 different conversations. He looks to be walking on it fine, though. And there has been viral video of the team when they return to Golden State from the plane. And, you know, Kevin Durant seems to be walking without a limp. He looked great. He looks fine. But we don't know. Again, that's a strained calf. So walking and then running throughout the course of an NBA game, 2 totally different things. So we all thought it was going to be an injury update. I thought at least it was going to be an injury update concerning Kevin Durant. But this press release revealed that an MRI showed that big man Kevon Looney has suffered a non-displaced first coastal cartilage fracture. And fracture, folks. He will be out indefinitely now. So if you look at what happened in game 2, like midway through the first quarter, Looney, he took a really bad fall trying to defend Kawhi Leonard on a drive. And Kawhi put his shoulder down, went right through Looney, who spun around in midair, landed really awkwardly on his back and his shoulder. So that led to a fracture. You know, he actually continued playing for a short time after that, but then left the game for good after the first quarter. So x-rays came back clean, said that he was hopeful to play in game 3, and that's not possible now because he has a fracture. In addition to that, we all saw this happen over the weekend in game 2. The Warriors lost Klay Thompson. I should say on Monday night, not over the weekend. Monday night. That was Sunday night, excuse me. Sunday night in game 2. The Warriors lost Klay Thompson to a hammy injury. That's right, hamstring strain late in game 2. And we all saw him leave the floor, and he didn't return. And then we saw him after the game, you know, congratulating his teammates alongside Kevin Durant for pulling out game 2. Now, Klay is listed as questionable. And they expect to have Thompson and Durant back at some point during this series, but it's not clear whether or not either of them will be able to play in game 3. Not to mention that DeMarcus Cousins, who was huge, he was big, almost had a triple-double one Monday night. He was fantastic. Sunday night. I keep saying Monday night. One Sunday night. He was fantastic. But he is still not 100%. We saw him long-winded because, again, he got injured at the early part of the NBA playoffs, came back, looked great, took him a while to get going. But, you know, DeMarcus Cousins is still getting his feet wet, returning to play. So it's just a lot of injuries. This team is banged up. Steph Curry, I don't know what was going on with him in the first half, but he looked like he was sick with something. You know, he was out of it talking to his trainers, and, you know, he looked like he was woozy. I don't know if he had food poisoning, or I don't know what that was. but he wasn't 100%. He caught fire late in that second half. But, you know, if you are the Toronto Raptors, you have to be foaming at the mouth a bit, right? Because we have not seen the Golden State Warriors this vulnerable, this early in an NBA final series throughout their dynasty. These key injuries to key players. Now, granted, you know, you still have, what, three Hall of Famers who are relatively healthy, with the exception of, you know, Steph, you know, Draymond looks good. Steph, hopefully, is okay. You know, he just looked like he just had a bug of some sort. Then you have now DeMarcus Cousins on the basketball court, and he looked fine as the game went on. But you are still without, you know, Klay Thompson, still without Kevin Durant, if they both aren't a go for game three. And if you are the Toronto Raptors, you know, you don't have any major injuries. Kawhi Leonard is still giving you great buckets. They were right there in game two down the stretch of that game. Right there. Still could have taken it. So if you look at all these injuries, and you're the Toronto Raptors, You got to be smiling a bit. You got to feel good, despite what happened in game two. You have to feel good about where you're at in this series. You already know now the bubble guts and the butterflies are now gone. All right, game one and two, you're now deep in the series now. Game three, Wednesday night, and I loved how, you know, you saw and you're seeing this chess match between Nick Nurse and Steve Kerr as well. You know, we saw a box in one defense played on the court on Sunday night. I haven't seen a box in one defense played since maybe like my high school days. That's crazy, right? They ran that on Steph Curry multiple times. And it worked. It really did work, and it caused some frustration for that Golden State Warriors offense. All I'm saying is, you know, there's a lot of people that looked at the game, too, and said, all right, all is right with the world now. Yep, this is the Golden State Warriors. This is what they do. It's the NBA Finals now. But I would be quick to count. I wouldn't be quick, I should say, to count the Toronto Raptors out based on this injury report, because this does not look great for this team. So we'll see what happens. Let's hit our final break. And when I come back, I'll give final thoughts to close out the hour on the stunning defeat of Anthony Joshua against Andy Ruiz Jr. We'll be right back. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, folks. Jack, did you watch what happened on Saturday night in the world? I know you're not a big boxing guy. I don't believe so. But did you see at all on social media what happened on Saturday?
Yeah, absolutely. Through social media when I got off work. I didn't think it was real at first that this guy... I didn't know who Anthony Joshua was, truth be told.
Okay.
But, I mean, I don't think anybody looks at a boxer that looks like Anthony Joshua and a boxer that looks like Andy Ruiz, with all due respect, and ever expects Ruiz to pull out a victory there. So I thought it was like a joke at first, but that's an incredible story.
I can't lie either, because we were out in NYC. We had this huge Airbnb. So we're out in the backyard by the pool, just relaxing, man. And it totally slipped my mind that AJ was supposed to fight on Saturday. And then all of a sudden, my homie Will shoots me a text. It was like a group message saying, oh my gosh, the biggest upset in boxing history just went down. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm like, oh man, yeah, Anthony Joshua did fight tonight. Is that what he's referring to? And lo and behold, I go on social media, and first off, my DMs are going crazy because everybody's asking me if I saw it, and everybody's chatting about it, and you know, and on social media. And then I see the video, and like you, Jack, I mean, Anthony Joshua If you don't know who Anthony Joshua is, if you haven't seen him, he is one of the most in shape, cut up, ridiculously built heavyweights.
He's a big boy.
Just one of the most. He looks like Apollo Creed, for goodness sake. I mean, the dude is unreal. And he seemed to be unstoppable in the sport of boxing. And many people were looking forward to him possibly fighting, you know, Deontay Wilder later on down the road. And then you look at Andy Ruiz Jr. And Andy Ruiz Jr., like, he's a heavyweight. You know, he's a heavyweight. In all respects of that word, he is a heavy brother. This guy, you know, he's got, you know, he's kind of chunky. You know, he's chubby. He's chubby, I'll say that. He kind of reminds me, he has like the body of Butterbean back in the day in the boxing world. So you look at him, and then you look at Anthony Joshua, and you think there is no way. This is a true Rocky story. But Rocky was in shape. Rocky, you know, Sly was cut up in that movie. But you get what I'm saying, right? Tremendous underdog here. And somehow, Andy Ruiz was able to not just beat Anthony Joshua, but this was a knockout in the seventh round. I couldn't believe it. And again, the only other moment in boxing that you can compare this to is when, you know, James Buster Douglas defeated Mike Tyson back in February of 1990. That's really the only kind of upset that you can compare this to. It was just so ridiculously, you know, it was just such a ridiculous thought to think about, you know, Buster Douglas beating Mike Tyson. And same here, you know, Andy Ruiz, you look at him and say, oh, no, this is impossible. That can't happen. But a point that I do want to make before we close out the hour, and I'll have more on this. I may have a boxing expert that will join us tomorrow. I'll let it be a surprise. But Scott Little tweeted me and said, Al, if you get a chance, there is a post-fight interview with AJ by Sky Sports Boxing. He shows amazing sportsmanship and honor. And that's one of the biggest points I want to make here, because in one of the most embarrassing moments in boxing history, you know, Anthony Joshua falling on the short end of that stick, he was so humble. He came and put his arm around Andy and gave him all the credit in the world. It wasn't a moment where Anthony Joshua is giving excuses and you know, he's putting down Andy. He's in many ways lifting this dude up. It was a very classy moment for Anthony Joshua. In many regards, my respect for AJ even grew a little bit. So, but what a moment, what a moment. I'll have more on that moment on tomorrow's show. But until then, folks, have a fantastic Tuesday afternoon. Again, the Diamond Classic final is tonight. Be easy, people.